welcome to the Go and Rob podcast. I'm Ben. As always, I'm joined by fellow Pokemon enthusiast Connor to bring you some of the latest and greatest Pokemon news and a few laughs along the way. This week, Nintendo went on the offensive against piracy with emulators Yuzu and Citra closing down. But what does this mean for Pokemon and gaming in general? Tired of waiting for Pokemon to release motorbikes? Well, automobile manufacturer Toyota has done it themselves, building a Maridon motorcycle. And to wrap up this week, we'll be speculating on what Pokemon will receive a Mega Evolution in Pokemon Legends Z to A, which was announced last week. As always, you can jump to a topic using the timestamp in the description below. Connor, hello!
Is that the name we're sticking with? Z to A?
I don't know. They need to come out and actually, like, clarify this.
Give me a trailer, and if the trailer says ZA, that's fine. That's what I'll call it. But it's got the hyphen.
It's got the hyphen, which implies, you know...
Yeah, it's the same. You'd have A to Z, you'd have Z to A, so...
Yeah. Mm. It's a really strange name, and I can't help but think... There's a reason why. We just don't know what that reason is. But I must admit, Pokemon Legends ZA sounds better than Z2A, but we will speculate more on this over the coming weeks and months as we probably transition into a bit of a quieter period for Pokemon news at the moment until, you know, the cycle kicks in as we start to build up to more information about Pokemon Legends Z2A and, you know, whether or not there is a secret, another game coming out in November, we shall see.
Well, even Secret Switch coming out at some point as well.
Yeah, there's a lot, to be quite honest with you, that I think Nintendo, Pokemon Company, Game Freak, I think there's a lot of getting their ducks in a row that is going to be happening this year with the successors to the Switch and any potential Pokemon games that come out this year, start of next year, and whether or not they come out on multiple Nintendo systems or not. But it's all very exciting. Let's start with a little bit of, you know, nice, exciting news this episode. The automobile manufacturer Toyota has built a Maridon motorcycle. And if you haven't already seen these images floating around on the internet, just, you know, take a look now while you're listening or watching this podcast, because this thing looks phenomenal. It isn't just a, you know, decal. It isn't just, oh, we've painted a bike and thrown some googly eyes on it. No, they have literally 3D mapped the model of Maridon and made a bike out of a motorbike or a motorcycle if you're in other countries. And this thing, the size of it alone, it is massive.
It's very impressive. Supposedly as well, like, there's a video on Twitter where the eyes are headlights. They're fully functioning headlights. I don't think this thing will be road legal.
I don't think so.
Can't imagine so. But apparently it was shown off last year at Toyota's Waku Waku World. That's what it's called. I've never heard of it, but there you go. It was shown off last year as a sort of first look prototype kind of thing. And it's supposed to return this year as a fully functioning version. So Maridon is going to be driving around Waku Waku World.
I cannot wait to see some actual footage of someone riding this bike. Because I also agree, I don't think this bike is going to be road worthy. And what I imagine is to keep down on costs and weight, a lot of this is going to be some form of plastic or really light metal.
Yeah.
So it can still get up to somewhat of a good speed. I'm just interested to see. You know, is it a life-size model of Maridon? Like, you know, you have the scale, whether or not it is, like, legitimately what size it would be. It looks like it from what we can see. Although,
seen, again, if you have a look at the video on Twitter that I sent you, there are people working on it, and it very much looks life size.
It looks big. It looks absolutely fantastic. I'm wondering, I want to know how the wheels work on this, because obviously the wheels in the model in the in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, it's a circle, but there's no axle through it.
Yeah, there's no spokes on it. So,
But there's an image.
Yeah,
you've seen the image where the wheel. It kind of looks like it's see-through. It you can pass through it. However, because it's from the front, it's difficult to tell if that's completely correct. But the shadows and the lighting just implies that there's a massive hole there where there is in the game.
So what it might be a case of is that it's got the sort of connecting bars. My motorcycle knowledge is not strong, so take this with a pinch of salt. The connecting bars are holding onto a sort of rim that's a disc. The inner rim, and then that will spin round itself, I guess.
Perhaps, I don't know.
The actual full, it looks like a plastic shell around a wheel.
It does.
And if you have a look at the picture, there's like a cutout at the bottom, which is where I assume the real wheel connects with the ground.
Yes.
But yeah, maybe they have just got a motorbike with a hole in the front of the wheel.
Perhaps. It'll be interesting to see. Now, how badly would you like to ride this Pokemon?
Oh, very much so. Very, very much so.
I don't know why I just said ride this Pokemon. It's not a real Pokemon. It's a motorbike that looks like one. However, just the idea of being able to ride on this and then just throw Pokeballs as you go past somebody. Oh, it'd be amazing.
Okay, so I'm just looking. There are motorbikes that have wheels with holes through them, but they all seem to be the back wheel.
Interesting. So, what? Interesting. Well,
yeah, because you consider that, you know, how do brakes work and things like that? Because you have big brake discs where this hole should be.
Yes, and you can obviously get rear wheel drive cars. I don't know about bikes. I've never thought about bikes. So
bikes are all rear wheeled as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. Again, my bike knowledge is not the strongest. They're just like Pokemon. Oh no, there's a big chopper here with a with holes through both of the wheels. I wonder if it's actually a motorcycle with hubless wheels.
So cool. Do you think this is a one and done? They are making one and that is it? Or do you think there'll be like a limited edition run of 10 that some car manufacturers
This is it. It's literally, so usually you'll see at these car shows and bike shows and things like that, a prototype design of a vehicle that's never ever come out. We've had so many flying car concepts through the years at motor shows that are never ever seeing the light of day. This is just going to be one of those. It seems to be made in conjunction with Pokemon and Game Freak. They seem to be in and about it. Their sort of names are slapped on the banners and things. Pokemon, Nintendo, Creatures Inc., Game Freak, they're all there. So it seems to be done with their blessing. This isn't somebody who's just gone, hey, I got a cool idea. So it's obviously just a marketing example. Yeah. Just something cool that they could do with a bit of engineering. I'm grateful
for it. Which is amazing. Yeah, it just makes you wonder where this is going to go. Like, you know how, for example, now we look back on, you know, museums that have things from thousands of years ago. Where's this going to eventually end up? Is this going to be in a museum thousands of years in the future? Could you imagine? Like, one-of-a-kind Pokemon exhibition.
I worry that it will just get stripped down as soon as it's finished.
Which is
as soon as the exhibition is done, it'll be decommissioned,
scrapped for parts, and gone rid of. And some of these images, the lighting on them really helps for me to bring to life what a truly triple A Pokemon experience would look like. The models, the real life lighting and shadows and colors and making things look like they aren't just character models. They are you know, metal in this instance. It's phenomenal.
It looks a little bit plasticky, which, to be fair,
I can see that.
It is.
More than likely. It's fantastic. But
it's a cool thing, and I'm glad we have it.
Good. Well, let's go from something that's quite happy to something that's quite sad, depending on your thoughts on this. So Citra and Yuzu have closed down as a result of Nintendo absolutely smashing them in a lawsuit, and the person, I think Tropicase is a name that keeps popping up, which makes me think that's the person. I've had a look and I can't nail it down, but it looks like this person, Tropicase, has not only agreed to pay $2,400,000 to Nintendo, but has agreed to completely shut down hosting, creating both Yuzu and Citra. They are officially dead as of right now, although if you still have them installed on your PC, they do work. I have checked, because I do have them, and I will come on to why I have them very shortly. Now,
so just quickly, Tropic Haze LLC is the company behind Yuzu.
Oh, so it wasn't
rather than a screen name.
Right, okay. So it's likely more than one person then, isn't it? It's
probably absolutely
doing this. And you know what? Actually, thinking about it, I did find the documents, but I haven't got them, the legal documents, but I haven't got them now. It does make me think whether or not part of their deal in terms of just going, okay, yeah, we'll pay up and let's try and move past this, is they don't actually get named. I can't see any names for these individuals that are involved with this.
Well, it'll be in a business-to-business lawsuit.
Oh, so people
aren't named in
that.
You don't sue an individual unless it's an individual. Yeah. You sue them as a conglomerate, as a company.
Right. Okay. So we were talking before recording this about what this actually means, and we kind of came to the conclusion that it means a lot more than some people might initially think. And we came to this from two very different angles. I think just because we're a Pokemon podcast, if we start with my angle first, if that's all right,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll move on to your angle. So anybody that watches any kind of YouTube will more than likely have seen videos of gameplay where things have been edited. So, for example, I used to watch, not so much anymore, a lot of content by the big PokerTubers who used to use Citra and obviously use Yuzu, because there are certain things that you can do. You can mod them. You can make changes to them. You can update the save files to give you whatever Pokemon that you want. And then you can host online competitions and battle one another. That's no longer the case anymore. You can't do that. I tried to, I reached out to my friend Sam, who was on the podcast the other week, who replied along the lines of, oh no, I can still access it. And then I just gave him a nudge and said, yeah, but have you tried the multiplayer? Multiplayer is dead on this. So, you know, if you have watched any of my recent Then We Fight videos, yeah, I'm not doing any more of them anytime soon, because there's no way to do that, unfortunately, anymore. Not only that, but, you know, it's not just Pokemon this affects. This also affects people that have maybe modded Super Mario, or people that have modded Breath of the Wild. You know, Nintendo have come down on what they perceive to be as something that contributes to piracy. And then, Connor, you also mentioned that, you know, this will also affect the speedrunning community, because a lot of speedrunners do their speedruns on emulators because there are benefits to doing that.
Yeah, they can all load up the same save state and things like that. Consistency, more than anything, yep. on a lot of them. Some of this old hardware doesn't quite work as well as it does, as it used to, and PCs just run better. And that might seem a little bit out there because who's doing speedruns on Yuzu or Citra? But this is not just going to be a Yuzu and Citra problem. Nintendo have struck. Everybody is now going to be running for the hills. No matter what emulator you use, if it circumvents Nintendo's piracy protection, which I'll get onto in a minute, that emulator needs to be scared, because Nintendo can come for them. And now that they have won this court case, that has set precedent, and it means they can basically win every court case going forward, because one judge has said, yeah, that's how the law works. And I want to clarify as well, because I've got the legal documents, more so the initial complaint. I'm not reading through all of them. But I just want to point out two things here. So this is Nintendo's initial statement saying why they sued Tropic Haze in the first place. So, defendant Tropic Haze LLC is an entity that owns, develops, and operates Yuzu, a video game emulator for Nintendo Switch games. A video game emulator is a piece of software that allows users to unlawfully play pirated video games that were published only for a specific console on a general purpose computing device. Now, that statement, I think, is up for debate. We have spoke before about the fact that you can basically create your own ROMs. You can take a DS cartridge, you can take a Switch cartridge, dump the ROM, and then you have the files and you can play it on Yuzu. There are perfectly legal ways to do it. Is it easier to download it from the internet? Yes. Would we recommend doing that? Not always, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're probably going to get some really horrible software and you're going to get a keylogger in your computer and you're going to have a bad time. But you know what? If you own the game and you want to play it on a better piece of hardware like your PC, because Breath of the Wild is capped at 30 FPS and you want to play it at 60 with better graphics, crack on. I love Pokemon on the DS, but I also prefer playing Pokemon at much, much higher frame rates and, more importantly, higher resolution. 4K Pokemon 3D games look amazing. So I think that one's up for debate. The bit where I think this is why Yuzu creators couldn't fight back. So to protect its intellectual property rights and its investments, as well as the investments of third-party developers, Nintendo designed the Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch video games with sophisticated security features or technological measures, sometimes referred to as technological protection measures, meant to prevent people from playing unauthorized or pirated copies of Nintendo's video games, whether on Nintendo Switch consoles or on other platforms. So on another bit, they then go on to say, Yuzu unlawfully circumvents the technological measures on Nintendo Switch games and allows for the play of encrypted Nintendo Switch games on devices other than a Nintendo Switch. Yuzu does this by executing code necessary to defeat Nintendo's many technological measures associated with its games. So that's the big thing. It's getting around copyright protection. And if you're having to circumvent copyright protection, it's very hard to then come back and say, we're not stepping on your copyright. It's the same argument as, back in the day you had like DVR protection and things like that.
Yeah.
So for our much younger audience, when we used to have VHS tapes, we used to record stuff off the TV. This was before you could just press a button on your home system and it recorded it for you. We used to just record things on our VHS tapes, and then you'd have the movie to watch whenever you wanted, because it only came around on TV once every 3 years or whatever.
We're so old.
That became such a problem for movie producers that they put laws in place that now you have to have protections against this kind of thing. And it creates all sorts of problems in plugging in different cables and plugging in different systems to monitors and trying to run. If anybody's tried to like capture a PS2, you'll have run into these issues, because you just can't. There are protections in place to stop it. And that's because it came down as a legislation from movie producers, basically. that's kind of what we're going to start seeing here, is Nintendo have said, hey, we have copyright and protection in place to stop this kind of thing happening, and they're circumventing it. Regardless whether you consider that they're doing it for pirated reasons or not, they are circumventing piracy protection, and therefore we don't like it, and it shouldn't be allowed. And they have won this court case, and that probably means it's not allowed.
It sets a dangerous, very dangerous precedent. Now, I'm, just to kind of let people know where I stand on this, even though I have said before on the podcast, like, yes, I use Citra, I use Yuzu. However, the games that I am emulating, I legally own. The consoles that the emulators, you know, enable you to play the games, I own those consoles. I own two Nintendo Switches. I own a 3DS. I own a Game Boy Advance. I have owned them all, and I still own a lot of them. But there are certain things that legitimate games and consoles do not allow you to do. They do not allow you to experience playing games in a certain way. You know, we've spoken before about randomizers. Randomizers are not possible on legitimate games. Like, you have to, unfortunately, get a version of it that allows you to edit it. Is that wrong? It depends on if you look at it from a legal perspective or a moral perspective. From a moral perspective, I say no, because I've already paid for these systems. I've already paid for these games. It's not taking anything away from the game manufacturer or the console developer. But I'm not everyone. There will be, without a shadow of a doubt, some people that play games on Yuzu who have not paid for those games. And that is where it becomes a little bit more difficult to argue, you know, the morality of that. And I know there are some people that will think along the lines of, well, Nintendo is a, you know, what, a multi-billion company? I'm not sure on how much they make a year, but they'll justify it as my £60 a month on a game that I'm not paying for isn't going to break their bank. And that's not really the point. Legally, you know, the argument of, well, it's not stealing, because technically, yeah, I've seen this before, technically stealing, you deprive the original owner of the thing. No, stealing's still stealing. You can label it however you want. You are not paying for a service or a product. But I think that what Nintendo have done here, I think that it sets a very dangerous precedent, because, you know, it isn't just piracy they're shutting down here. They're shutting down people that, you know, maybe want to make sure that games are always playable. You know, we have to look back at games that have shut down, games that, like, as a service, or games that have been taking off stores because certain licenses have fallen through or have elapsed. Or we think about, you know, people that have updated these games to bring entertainment. You know, one of the funniest videos I've ever seen was, I think it was, Point Crow or whatever, where he was playing the Zelda game, where every time he attacked, his character got bigger and bigger. And it was absolutely hilarious. This makes that a lot more difficult, and it does actually, thinking about it, one element we've not looked at is it does give Nintendo an avenue to go after content creators, because if they can go, well, hold on a second, that game you're playing, you've updated that, you've modded it, is this another avenue where they can go after those people?
It is possibly. So again, sorry, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just reading through the legal documents because it's really interesting.
Why?
I found there's like three people, three and four people who have been sued here. So between four of them, they got a fine $2.4 million to give Nintendo.
Which one point that we haven't touched on here that we did before we started recording is that they this Tropic Haze company set up a Patreon account. and that Patreon account, you could get certain benefits by paying into it, such as early releases of their latest Yuzu build. Now, that is also something that I think Nintendo will have factored in of, oh no, hold on, you are getting money from this.
Doesn't look like that's been part of what they're paying for.
Does it not?
The payment is legal fees and damages.
Yeah, okay.
So Nintendo have managed to swing around and gone, due to the amount of people who have pirated these games, $2.4 million is what it's cost us.
I wonder how they came to that figure.
Well, I can tell you. Do you want to know the games that they've specifically stated?
Because
it's not all... No, there's not.
Oh.
Which is kind of crazy, considering that we know of all the games that are on Yuzu, basically all of them. Where is it? Report on filing of determination.
So just while you're doing that...
Yep.
I've taken the money. Okay, go on then.
So there are five games, which is what they've taken into account. This is what they've said, like, you have circumvented our copyright on these, and we want our damages for it. Okay. Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Makes sense.
Yep. I was aware of that one.
We're pretty sure that one leaked early and was out on Yuzu before it was officially released, which is not cool.
No.
Animal Crossing's New Horizons. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. And Paper Mario the Origami Kingdom.
Okay, that last one, that last one, I have no idea why that's on the list, but okay, fair enough.
But those okay. are... So somebody will have definitely said, like, okay, those are ones where we can prove that you've had yes. to get around certain levels of copyright code, and you've yep. put code specifically into Yuzu to get around it,
mm-hmm.
rather than the ROMs themselves perhaps needing to be cracked. So yeah, that's what they've been sued for.
So I've looked at the figure. So, you know, nearly $2.5 million divided that by 60 because, you know, roughly $60 a game. Think that sounds about right. It's only 40,000 copies
across five games.
Yeah, it's not a lot, is it? Like, I think Nintendo have maybe not gone. They could have gone overkill on this. I think they could have got a higher figure. And they haven't, I understand why. Because let's say they'd have gone down the path of, no, we're going to just absolutely carpet bomb this and get you for as much money as possible, knowing that you'll never pay this, because let's be honest with you, Nintendo don't need this money. If it's suddenly, you know, or they've sued them for $50 million, people are probably less likely to worry about that because it's like, well, I can never pay $50 million. It's fine. They're not going to come after me for $50 million. $2.4 million, like... That is feasibly something you can earn in your lifetime. Do you really want to be looking over your back as a, you know, someone that's created an emulator or is thinking of developing an emulator? Looking over your back thinking, any point, I could get a letter from the lawyers of Nintendo basically saying, yeah, not only are you shutting this down, but you're going to pay his damages. Like, it's just not worth the risk, which is why I'm not sure if you mentioned it in the recording or before, we've started to see other emulators go free
or yes, just there was a Android emulator called Drastic emulator, which is now free on Android. It, I believe, it emulates DS games. Yep, it's a DS emulator for Android. It's now free. It was $4.99. It will disappear very soon.
Yep.
Because here's the interesting bit. Right. Do you want to get the do you want to know the official judgment?
Yes, of course.
Right, so Nintendo of America markets and distributes video games. Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch video games contain technological measures that effectively control access to copyrighted works and protect rights of the copyright owners, including Nintendo. Nintendo owns valid copyrights, blah, 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 blah. Yuzu, a video game emulator, circumvents the technological measures and allows for the play of encrypted Nintendo Switch games on devices other than a Nintendo Switch. So notice that they don't say pirated. At no mm-hmm. point do they say pirated here. For example, Yuzu executes code that decrypts Nintendo Switch video games, including component files, immediately before and during runtime using unauthorized copies of Nintendo Switch cryptographic keys. Yuzu is primarily designed to circumvent and play Nintendo Switch games. In the ordinary course of operations with those games, Yuzu requires the Nintendo Switch's proprietary cryptographic key to gain access to and play Nintendo Switch games. So that's what the judge come down and said, like, that's a big no-no. Develop it. Now, this is the bit that's going to go forward. This is the bit that's going to be, that is now precedent, okay? Developing or distributing software, including Yuzu, that in its ordinary course functions only when cryptographic keys are integrated without authorization violates the Digital Millennium Copyright Acts. Sorry for my pausing. This is a lot of words. The Copyright Act's prohibition of trafficking in devices that circumvent effective technological measures, because the software is primarily designed for the purpose of circumventing technological measures. So basically, if you have any kind of emulator going forward that has to get around copyright protection, it's now illegal.
Yes, that makes sense.
That's it. So it's come down now. It's now precedent. It's illegal. You cannot do it.
Sorry, because the way you were, I was waiting for the penny to drop as you were saying that, because from my perspective, my thought was, oh, so let's say the next Pokemon game that Gen 10 comes out, and you know the Game Freak completely forgets to put that technology in there. It's fair game, because the emulator has not in any way had to circumvent any kind of legal digital protection. So those five games that are listed then, I assume, are the ones that have that protection in place, and they can say, oh no, we've got evidence that your emulator has been able to
that's done it rather than the ROM, which I think is why those five games are important. What this means, though, is there's a bunch of old school emulators. So going back to, say, the PlayStation 1. So PlayStation 1 emulators. Even not emulators. Even if you just hack your PS1 so that it can play Japanese games. That's illegal now. I mean, it's been illegal since the Millennium Copyright Act.
Yeah.
But it is now, it can now be used against you fully and with precedent. That's scary. And really, I think this could actually do damage to video game archiving.
Yeah, because there are so many
old school arcade games and things like that. The only way to get them now in like their original state is to make them playable on other devices. Interesting.
It really is. But the one of the questions I have is, like, where do we stand on where those games are no longer available, but there is still digital protection in place? Like, that's a scary thought of, this game, you cannot legally obtain a version of it from anywhere. However, like you say, someone that's archiving video games, which I maintain is a valid reason for, you know, getting versions of games and breaking them open so that future generations can experience them. That's according to this, not allowed.
No, but if you're getting around copyright protection, that's it.
That's it.
Which is crazy, because you have a look at like videos of old copyright protection, and you see videos of like Zelda's hair going everywhere, or you'd be able to play up to the demo and then everything would just break.
Yes.
Whereas now people have got so sophisticated. Like, the problem with trying to go against hackers effectively is that they're always ahead of you. You're always protecting against what they're already doing, which means you're playing catch up with them. So there will always be more sophisticated ways to get around the copyright protection. So now it's just a case of like, no, I'm just not fighting you on that front anymore. Just if we put anything in place, you're not allowed to do it, and we will sue you into the ground.
What do you think was Nintendo? Why now for Nintendo, I guess? Is it because they have been waiting for a while to kind of get that, gotcha moment? Because obviously this isn't something that has happened overnight. They've obviously been planning this for a while. Makes you wonder how long this has been going on for.
I can tell you exactly how long it's been going on for. The motion got... Oh, my God. The initial complaint got filed in February. February 26th. No, this year.
This year. Okay.
This took all of about 10 days to be filed and finished.
Yeah. Yeah, because Yuzu,
folded.
What were they going to do? What were they going to... Of course, like, what were they going to do? Go up against... probably one of the most like well-trained, highly paid group of lawyers in existence. Who'd take that case?
No, it was never gonna end well for them. And they basically went, okay, if we fold now, we can be less bankrupt, I guess.
Yeah,
they have had to release a statement.
As
part of the legal procedures. So they write, this is a Twitter thread coming straight from Yuzu EMU. Hello, users and Citra fans. We write today to inform you that the Yuzu and Yuzu's support of Citra are being discontinued effective immediately. Yuzu and its teams have always been against piracy. We started the projects in good faith, out of passion for Nintendo and its consoles and games, and we're not intending to cause harm. But we see now that because our projects can circumvent Nintendo's technological protection measures and allow users to play games outside of authorized hardware, they have led to extensive piracy. In particular, we have been deeply disappointed when users have used our software to leak game content prior to its release and ruin the experience for legitimate purchasers and fans. We have come to the decision that we cannot continue to allow this to occur. Piracy was never our intention, and we believe that piracy of video games and on video game consoles should end. Effective today, we will be pulling our code repositories offline, discontinuing our Patreon and Discord servers, and soon shutting down our websites. We hope our actions will be a small step towards ending piracy of all creator works. Thank you for years of support and for understanding our decision. And there's a couple of bits in there I want to pull apart. One, fair enough, they come out and say, like, look, we weren't trying to get around piracy. We just wanted to play some games on better hardware, which I get it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's also interesting that they point out it allowed people to play games early. And I think that answers your question of why now. Tears of the Kingdom came out early.
Yeah.
They released the biggest game of like the end of the Switch's life cycle, came out early, pirated. Yeah. And that's just never, ever good for a company. You got to imagine a lot of that 2.4 million in damages. A lot of that would have been Tears of the Kingdom. Like, compared to Paper Mario,
I think a lot of it comes
from Tears of the Kingdom. The other thing as well, we hope that this will be a small step in ending piracy. It won't.
No. Agreed.
Ask
it won't.
Anybody who ever fought against Napster. It just doesn't work, guys.
It doesn't
work.
You
can't sue people into ending piracy. The only way to end piracy is to make it easier to have these games legally than illegally. That's it.
Yep.
2.4 million is not a lot of money to you, Nintendo. This does not help your cause. Just release all games. Oh, sorry. Rage.
No. What's the quote from? Is it Gabe Newman or something from Steam that he says that piracy isn't a cost issue, piracy is an access issue? And doing it wrong, obviously, that's generalizing there. For some people, it will be a case of, I just don't want to pay. But me, for example, like, I used to pirate a lot of videos and movies, and then Netflix came around, and for years, I didn't need to, because for the low price of £5 a month, I could watch pretty much 90% of content that was available. And now the frustration is that, well, it's not $4.99. It's like $8.99 for Netflix. But then I need Disney. I need Amazon. I need all these different things. And, you know, that's why me and my family, and my wife's family, we account share. Because, you know, it's not the money issue. It's the fact that you're having to go down all these different avenues just to watch something. And I think that, you know, that's the case with gaming, is unfortunately, you know, you've got games on the Switch, you've got games on Sony consoles, you've got games on Microsoft consoles, you've got games that are on Steam, you've got part of an overlap. And, you know, that for some people, it'll be a case of, well, I want to play this game that's available on the Xbox, but I'm not buying an Xbox for one game. So what's their alternative? What can they do?
The alternative on Xbox is you get Xbox Game Pass. The alternative on PlayStation. Which is a bargain. PlayStation does have the PlayStation Plus thing, which it's isn't not, as great, not... but at least it's an option.
Yes.
What's Nintendo got? Oh, well, if you get Nintendo Online, you get some, what, N64 games?
Yeah.
You get some SNES games? It's not good enough. And as we move towards a service-only world, I don't think buying physical copies of games is really the way forward anymore. And I think Xbox really has got it nailed.
Agreed.
Like, they're not even doing exclusives anymore because they know there's no money in selling Xboxes. They know nobody's going out to buy an Xbox to buy Halo. So we just include all the games on Game Pass and let them play it on the freaking PC, because that's what they want to do.
Exactly. Like, it's absolutely amazing. Like, some of the latest games on Xbox, and I don't own an Xbox anymore. I got rid of mine a couple of years back, and the amount of times I've said to my brother, oh, have you played this game? He's like, yeah, I played day one on Games Pass. I pay like £7, £8 a month, and I can play 99% of all Xbox games, and I can also play most of them on my PC. Like, that is how you address an issue of piracy. That is how you address it. You go, oh no, people want this content. Well, let's give them that content in a way that, you know, is easily accessible and at a cost that isn't too much. And unfortunately, Nintendo...
You've got the PlayStation route, which is build a better PC than most people have.
Yeah.
So sure, they can pirate it, but they're not going to be playing it.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Nintendo...
Nintendo have nothing to stand on that makes piracy a bad idea.
No, I get that. Yeah. And the problem is with Nintendo as well, at least... You know, when I think about PlayStation, for example, now I don't have a pirated PS4. A member of my family does. Now, for me, the reason I haven't gone down that route is because, you know, I've still got a PS4, and some of the games that I want to play are down to like £2.99 now. I don't need to pirate it because I just wait for it. You know, oh, there's a game that I wanted to play 5 years ago. It's finally come down in price. I'll just get it. Nintendo can't even stand on that because I know that in, you know, a year or two time when I go, oh, I want to play Tears of the Kingdom, I'm still going to have to pay full whack for that game. But look at Pokemon. Pokemon just doesn't come down in price. You know, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee are still ridiculously expensive despite the fact they are several years old now. Nintendo have this habit of, you know, Nintendo have looked at this, and while I can understand why they went after Citra and Yuzu, I think Nintendo have gone, this is the problem. Well, no, that isn't the problem. The problem, Nintendo, is that you are so behind technologically compared to the way the world is moving. And what you need to look at is, okay, why are people emulating our games? Why are people doing it? And yes, a subsection will be because of cost. But subsection will be a case of, okay, they can play at better specs. They can mod it. They can do all these additional things. Well, Nintendo, what are the lessons you're going to learn from this?
Here's the other problem as well, is that it's not just people playing on their PC. There are now Switch alternatives. There are the Steam Deck. The Asus one that they have. I always forget the name of it, which just means it's badly marketed.
Yeah,
but there are better options to have the same experience, which they never had to fight before. So I think a combination of people being able to play Tears of the Kingdom on their Steam Deck a week early than release was enough for them to go, nah, shut it down.
Yeah, gotta do something. Yep. Oh, this is... Yeah, I know we're a Pokemon podcast, but what the effect this will have on the gaming industry moving forward is very interesting. And I mean, it started with Nintendo. How long before Sony or Microsoft come down on their equivalents of emulators? Now, I don't know if there are emulators for the PS5 and Xbox, but the fact that they are, 4 or 5 years old now makes me think that there probably are. how long before, you know, these companies start coming down, and what the knock-on effect of that is to the gaming community?
And again, the difference is there probably are emulators like that, but they're not accessible to everyone because not everyone can run them. You can run a 3DS game, or you can run a Nintendo DS game on your phone.
Yes, yes, you can.
That's the level of technology. That's how far Nintendo have been behind. And instead of changing strategy, they're just slapping lawsuits, which is what they've done for years. I mean, let's not forget that it was not too long ago that they were still coming down on everybody who ever played a Nintendo game on YouTube or on Twitch.
Yes.
You just weren't allowed to do it for a long time unless you were a Nintendo partner, and then you had to jump through a billion different hoops to do that.
Billion hoops. Yep.
And as you said, like, your favorite content creators who play, more importantly, the sort of hacked versions of games now where they've got all the, they're like combining different Pokemon together and changing all the moves and randomizers and all that kind of stuff. Gone. That's it. Can't do it. I mean, they might be able to. Maybe they'll find a way around it. But they certainly won't be telling anybody about it.
Oh, no. That's part of the problem now is I've encountered that with trying to randomize Scarlet and Violet, which I own those games. So if I want to play a randomized version of that, morally, I don't feel any guilt for doing that. However, what I have noticed doing my own videos is that, you know, the big PokerTubers, whereas back in the day, they used to be quite open about, oh, no, we randomized it using this function. We randomized it using this piece of software. They don't tell you anymore. Of course, they're not going to tell you anymore because two reasons. One is it opens up that avenue of competition of other people creating content. It also opens up the risk that YouTube will, you know, someone from Nintendo will hear that and go, oh, we have evidence. They have just admitted that they are playing this on a modded version, or they've done something to bypass the security. Let's crack down on them. Because yeah. I still maintain that Nintendo see, like, if Nintendo could have shut down content creators that play Nintendo games, if they could do that, they would have done it by now, because they still see that as a form of piracy. They see that as, oh, we're losing out on sales because people are just watching this content rather than buying the game themselves.
Well, let's not forget that we covered a statement a few, I think it was last year.
A long time ago, yeah.
You know, Nuzlocks are just as bad as hacking, which is obviously a misunderstanding of what Nuzlocks are. We came to the conclusion that they meant Nuzlocke randomizers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, there, I know some content creators who have turned around and said, like, oh yeah, I've spoken with people at Nintendo. They've said, we'd love to work with you, but you play randomized games. We can't do it.
But no.
We're not going to come down on you because we understand that you're bringing attention to the company and the games and things like that, but we will never associate with you. Which sucks, because these are some of the biggest creators who have brought so many people to the fandom.
Yep. And I think that's part of the reason why we will never get any form of randomizer or Nuzlocke on official Pokemon content, because it would be seen as them admitting that it's okay to do that. Like, they can't do it because of, you know, the association.
Which sucks, because, again, if you give it as an option to do it legally, people will stop doing it, quote-unquote, illegally.
Yep.
Not that randomizing a game is illegal, by the way. It's your game. You do what you want. Yes. Anyway, I'm starting to get riled up.
Let's move on to some comments and questions. So there's two that we've picked out this week that tie into what we were going to be discussing anyway. So Tony has asked, who do you think the starters will be in Pokemon Legends Z2A? Do you think they'll get Megas or new forms? Or do you think they'll give the starters new final evolutions, but give the original Kalos starters forms similar to Megas, like Greninja had its battle bond? And then King Nido has also said, in lore, I think they talk about the bonds a trainer has to have with the Pokemon to Mega Evolve. Imagine if you have to accomplish different tasks for each potential Mega Evolution to build the bonds. You know what? I'm just going to come out and say, that is absolutely fantastic. If you can build that up with a Pokemon to unlock that, oh, it's a fantastic idea. I love that.
Yeah. I think, you know, we were talking about it. Should it be, you know, completing the Pokedex on them? Maybe. Maybe if you complete the Pokedex on them, you unlock a specific quest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that might be a bit too many hoops to jump through. But I think if you're going to be able to be like, no, I can build a bond with this Pokemon. Because that's the thing. It's a case of, can you only Mega Evolve the one Pokemon that you build a bond with? That doesn't really work out great. Whereas if it's a case of, no, I've built a bond with this species of Pokemon, I think Legends is the best place to do that. Because again, you can fill out the Pokedex to a 10 star, then unlock mm-hmm. the quest. Go off to the quest. Okay, now I can Mega Evolve that Pokemon. I've sussed it out. I think that'd be very cool.
Yeah. No, I like the idea a lot. And I would like to see them retroactively do that for previous Mega Pokemon we've had as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I
think... Do you think they'll include all Megas in this? Or just the select few?
I was so confidently going to say all Megas. I think they will include all Megas, and the reason why is because they have made... They knew why they were adding that Mega symbol and the sound effect at the mm-hmm. end of the trailer. Like, that wasn't an accident. They knew what that would cause, the reception that would get. I think that reception is a little bit diluted if they just go, oh, it's only new Megas or only a selection of Megas. there's a reason why, despite the fact that we haven't had Megas since the 3DS era, we still get them in Master ZX. We still get them in Unite. We still get them in Pokemon Go. They know the marketability of Megas. So of course, they're going to use this as an opportunity to bring back the ones that fans love and implement new ones. Now, it gets a little bit muddy, this stuff, because thinking about the starters that we've had Megas for, we've had the Kanto and we've had the Hoenn starters. They, you know, so 7 Mega Evolutions split amongst those 6 Pokemon. What I can't see them do... So what I'm trying to get to here is I don't see them having the best of both worlds of, okay, you get 3 starters, but the starters are like the previous Pokemon Legends game where we've cherry-picked 3 different ones from different regions, but then also give those specific Pokemon Mega Evolutions. It feels a little bit messy. It feels like they've kind of set a precedent of any starters that get Megas, either all of the starters of that generation get them or none of them do.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But that doesn't work if they then go, oh, we're just Legends, we'll pick 3 different random starters. So I think the starters we get in Legends Z to A will be like Legends Arceus of, oh no, they've just got a different form at the end. They don't have a Mega, and Megas will be reserved for other Pokemon out and about. What I would love to see is something similar to the bosses that you have to fight in Legends Arceus, whereas instead of them being enraged, you're fighting the Mega versions. I think that would be fantastic.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But weren't
you
all the bosses were Hisuian form already?
They were, yes.
So this is one of the things I was going to ask about the starters as well. Could you see them getting a Colossian form?
I love that. I've not heard it before, but I love it. That then Mega Evolves.
In the same way as these, okay, you know, say the 5 heads of the areas that you're trying to expand into are Colossian forms of old Pokemon that then have mm-hmm. a Mega form. Is it too new?
Working. Yeah. No, I could see that working. I could see, because the Legends series is definitely their almost playground, it feels like. You look at Arceus and you look at how different that was. It kept that formula, but then went, okay, let's mix this formula up. Legends, I could see them being a lot braver in Legends and just trying new and different things. So I actually think we will be getting new forms, new Megas, returning Megas. You know, and the great thing about the Kalos region is it's got the three zones. It's got the coastal, the mountain, and I can never remember the third one. With such a diverse range of Pokemon, that I think most generations will be fair game to having Megas, which was a criticism I have of the current batch of Megas, is it's predominantly Generation 1, 2, 3, and then a handful of others from 4, 5, and only one from 6, which is bizarre to me that the generation you introduce Mega Evolution, you don't give it to any of the Gen 6 Pokemon outside of Diancie.
And it's a mythical.
It's a mythical, exactly. Very, very strange. Now, I think we are going to see at least one or two new Pokemon from Generation 1 that have Megas or different forms. Because I stumbled upon an infographic the other day of Gen 1 Pokemon that haven't received some version of either a Mega, Gigantamax, Regional, Divergent Evolution. There's not a lot left, folks.
It's like Dodrio...
The Nido King and Nido Queen. You've got Staryu and Starmie. You've got I'm thinking now. What else was on there? And there's no way I can pull this up.
I could see the Nidos getting something new, and them being like a pair of bosses. That would be a very cool boss fight.
Oh, yeah, because
Legends has that kind of fight two people at once.
Yes. Mm. Oh, I'd love that. I would absolutely love that. I could see that happening. Gen 2. So I've got a list of Megas in front of me. I'm sure you have as well. In terms of 1, 2, oh, I want to know how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Megas from, 10 Pokemon that have 12 Megas from Generation 1. Generation 2 only has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Generation 3. Had 8, 9, 10. Generation 4 had 3. I was looking at X and Y. There are more than that because the Bulbapedia lists them via the games they're introduced in. But there's not a lot from the later generations.
No, there's not.
So I can see them maybe. Maybe they flip it and Generation 1 and 2 maybe get one or two. And then as you progress up the generations, you then get more. But I actually have a question for you, thinking about it, which isn't related to Megas and regional forms, but I think is a question that impacts on that question. Is, are we only getting Pokemon up to Generation 6 in this game? Or are we getting Pokemon from Gens 7, 8, and 9? I'm thinking about Legends Arceus.
You did only really get them up to Gen 4, didn't you?
Gen 4. Do we think this is what we're going to see, only up to Gen 6, which I'm happy with. It gives those older Pokemon room to shine once again, the Pokemon that have been forgotten about.
Yeah.
And you know what I like about that? Is it means
that's
that...
not true. Basculin with Gen 5.
Pardon? Basculin Gen 5, yes.
And
are you right?
Lilligant
was
Gen 5.
Yes. Hold on. The Ice one was Gen 5 as well. What's it called?
Avalux Gen 6.
I always swear it's Gen 5, but I think you are right with Gen 6, actually. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So,
right.
There are later generations in there.
There are. Okay. That throws my idea out, but I still.
Plus,
think
you
we're
had
getting...
all the. You had all the.
Well, you got Eeveelution.
You got the Eeveelutions. You've got the not the Weather Trio, the Genies.
Genies, yeah. Mm.
So yeah.
Okay then. Right. Okay. So we're
yes,
getting
I think
later.
We will see Gen 7 and Gen 8, and Gen 9. I think it'd be a waste not to see some.
Yes.
Which ones we see is up for debate, but. I think we'd see some.
I agree. Should we speculate on which Pokemon we think we're going to see then?
Pokemon we think we're going to see in the game at all, or Pokemon we think we'd get Megas?
Megas. Let's do Megas and regional forms. That's what people want to know. Look at the smile on your face. I know you want to do it. You want to speculate. So, thinking about Kalos, and I'm trying to think if there's any Pokemon that tie in with the story or what they could do there. And I'm going to start with Gen 6 because that's the generation that we're on.
Okay, let's do Gen 6 Pokemon first then.
Let's do Gen 6 and then kind of work our way back, perhaps. Do you think, the obvious one is, do you think we're getting Megas for Xerneas and Yveltal? Like we did for Palkia. Well, sorry, we didn't get Megas for Palkia and Dialga, but we got Origin Forms. Do you think we're getting Megas or Forms for these two Pokemon?
So the question is then, do they have 100% Form? Because that's what Zygarde has. It has 100% Form. But it then brings into the question, they can't be stronger than Zygarde because Zygarde has to keep them both in balance. So if you make Xerneas and Yveltal stronger, then you have to give Zygarde another Form. And if you
Which
get mega,
yes.
mega 100% Zygarde, as much as I'd love to see it, I think it becomes a little bit insane.
Because Zygarde's complete form speaks, like, when I look at that, if someone told me, oh, it's a Mega Evolution, I'd believe them because of the design and the power. Like, the alternative way that you do that is almost like Yveltal and Xerneas are like Zygarde's 10% form, and therefore there's a 50% form for them, but it still never surpass the 100% form of Zygarde. Mm-hmm. I think the easiest way is you just get new forms for those Pokemon. You know,
we kind of have a form for Xerneas that we never ever got to play with.
Yeah, he's got the neutral and the active form, apparently.
And we never get the active form. We battle it when it's all multicolored, and then every time you play with it, it's got that light blue to its horns, which...
You know what I would like? And I don't think this will happen. Like, you know, Xerneas is about life, Yveltal is about, like, death, for lack of a better word. I'd like to see forms that flip that. Because Yveltal gets, you know, it gets the bad end of the stick. He's seen as a bad Pokemon. Like, let's flip it around. Maybe it's a cycle. Like, you know, Yveltal in this cycle is, you know, life, and Xerneas is death. You know, you flip it. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I could see that.
In terms of other Pokemon, then, that I want to see get a Mega, I think I'd like to see Hawlucha get a Mega, just to see where they could go with that.
Hawlucha was on my list. I think it's got enough fan recognition to make it worthwhile. It was on Ash's team. People like it.
Yeah,
it's a standout from that generation.
Yeah,
I think it definitely deserves it. On a similar note, a Pokemon that is a standout from that, well, should have been a standout from that generation because it was marketed so much and then kind of you did nothing with it and it was a terrible Pokemon and definitely deserves some power up, Go-Goat.
Yes, please. I'm trying to think what you could make. If it's, you know, it's a goat that, goat's typical goat mountain, give it, you know, grass rock or grass ground. Like, it's up in the mountains and it's kind of adapted to that harsh environment. I would love to see Go-Goat get a alternative form or a...
And its horns just get massive and its bush like starts growing things out of it. Sure.
Yeah. I think there's probably an argument to be made because for Tyrantrum and Aurorus to have either an alternative form or a Mega, mainly because the fossil mechanic in that game is so... feels to me very prevalent because it's accessed really early game, whereas typically the fossils are later on. So you stumble upon it quite early and there are certain trainers that have those Pokemon. And I just think that there's a lot you could do with their designs to really... just take them to the next level.
I think you tread a very fine line with Tyrantrum. I think Tyrantrum is about as designed as I'd like a Pokemon to be. Now, that being said, I'm not a big fan of Mega Tyranitar. I think it's over-designed. I think it's got too much going on. And I worry that's the direction a Mega Tyrantrum would go.
I can see that.
But I like the idea of getting Mega Forms of those two. They are two of the best fossils.
Yep. The one other Pokemon I would love to see get some kind of Mega or Regional form is Talonflame.
I thought about Talonflame because it was really strong in Gen 6 Yes. And then they nerfed its ability. So it's kind of dropped off ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be kind of cool to see. I'd say it'd be cool to see a mega with its... Well, no, because you could. You could add the mega in and give its mega the buffed up ability.
Yes.
And then just not have to worry about introducing it into games, because the mainline games just aren't going to have megas.
No, they're not. Yeah, you can get away with it.
Yeah, we're still going to be battling in Scarlet and Violet for another years and years now, 20, 30 or whatever it's going to be.
It'll be a while.
So,
do you think, just to round out Gen 6, do you think the three starters are getting the Mega Evolution that they were probably robbed of in their debut games?
So I mean, don't think they'll get Megas, and the reason I don't think they'll get Megas is because Battle Bond Greninja exists.
Okay.
And it kind of goes against the lore of the show, because nobody goes, back in the distant past, there was Mega Greninja, but it hasn't been seen for years, and you've done this without... It's just never touched on. Nobody ever thinks about it. So I don't think we can give Greninja one. And I think if you can't give Greninja one, you can't give the other two ones.
Yep.
That being said, would it be cool if you master Mega Evolution? So you unlock all your different Megas across the board, and then you get to learn Battle Bond. Like, that's your, I've completed the Pokedex, I've completed the game.
Yeah.
What's my reward? Oh, now I get to Battle Bond with my starters.
I love that idea. I you know what? I would love to see that, because Greninja's Battle Bond always stood out as... I get why they introduced it in the games, because they introduced it in the anime and they wanted that, you know, cross collaboration. But it always felt like Delphox and Chestnut just got the short end of the stick and need a little bit more love, especially because Chestnut, you know, wanted... I've yet to meet anyone that likes Chestnut's design. It's grown on me, but I still think it's just a weird looking Pokemon. So if we could get a Battle Bond version, I'd be down for that.
So if you were, I'm just thinking, because Ash Greninja looks like Ash.
Yes.
So if you were able to Battle Bond in game, obviously we've had Ash Greninja that comes over as Ash Greninja.
Yeah.
You basically get it from Ash. Do you think you'd... So its stripe on its head is supposed to look like its hat, and its flares at its side is supposed to look like its hair. Do you think its hair color and stripe would change depending on what you were wearing?
I would love to see that. I don't think it would happen, but I would love to see that. Because again, it comes down to, like, Game Freak have this terrible habit of your main character actually... doesn't feel special or unique. So what's a way that you can make them feel special and unique? And, oh, okay, your character's appearance has an impact on the Pokemon you're with via Battle Bond. It'd be a great way to see them do that. I'd love to see. And I think it's doable, because surely you just go, okay, what color clothes is the character wearing? What color is the character's hair? Okay, right, update the character model to have that kind of shade. Sure, it's doable, isn't it? I mean, I don't know that much about making games, but it feels like it's doable.
Yeah, you're looking up a color value and just applying it elsewhere, surely. He says.
Yeah. He says, yes.
My last one that I've got, I'd love to see a Trevenant.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that Pokemon's design. It's really grown on me over time, and I get it, and I think that you could go a lot of... Ghost Pokemon naturally lend themselves a lot to Mega Evolution, because I think there's a lot more you can get away with them, because there are other dimensions at play. I could see that, and I would love to see that. I'm quickly...
Go on. What else you got?
Go on. I've just realized I'm approaching this the wrong way, because surely I should just be looking up the Kalos Pokedex.
Yeah.
And going from there, rather than...
What are you doing at the moment?
Going through the full list of over 1,000 Pokemon, which is a terrible idea.
No.
So another Pokemon that was introduced in Generation 5, but is in Generation 6, Drudgeon. I have wanted to see some love for that Pokemon for a while.
is kind of just a nothing dragon, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a pure dragon type that has, I think, a really weak design. Mm-hmm. And I want to give that thing a little bit of love.
I, again, worry that it gets like the Manectric.
Oh, yeah, that design.
Where it just becomes super spiky. And it's like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't like that. No, you're absolutely right. Oh, Gliscor.
But the thing is, Gliscor is already an addition.
Yes, I get what you're saying, because it was introduced in Gen 2 and then it got that upgrade. Is there any other Pokemon that had that?
That then got a Mega. There is.
Onix, Steelix, Mega
Steelix.
Yeah,
no, you're right, you're right.
But that was only one generation apart. This is two generation apart.
Still counts.
Still counts, okay. You know what? Fearow. I want to see Fearow get some love. That's a Pokemon that hasn't had a regional form. I don't want a Mega for it, but a regional form? Yes, please.
I would love to see, if we're going for those earlier Pokemon, Skarmory.
Agreed, yes.
Skarmory something... was such a strange Pokemon because it was introduced in Gen 2 and nobody saw it till Gen 3.
Yes.
And
yes.
Its typing is amazing. Yeah. It just isn't quite strong enough for what it needs to be.
Yes, and the fact that we now have Corviknight as well makes me think that, okay, Corviknight's the new Steel Flying Pokemon. So how can you take the older one and do something with it, whether or not that's an alternative form or a Mega? And I think that Steel types are another typing that lends itself well to Mega Evolution, that have strong, strong designs. So yeah, I would like to see that as well.
Stick him with the birds.
Conkeldurr.
No, need you're some right love. With Conkeldurr. We were talking about Pokemon that fit with the concept of the game. So this is one I could quite easily see, like, oh, we need you to go and catch this really strong Pokemon that's going to help us with construction. And it's a Mega Conkeldurr. Perfect. Yes. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, and Conkeldurr just feels like an easy one for Mega Evolution, because you just bulk it up a little bit, standing up straight, and instead of it holding the things like that, it's like lifting them up or something. Or maybe, you know, it's that strong that, I don't know, it's maybe started to merge with the cement or whatever it's got a little bit, and it's kind of forming around its arms or something. I could see some really good designs with that.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun. I was on Staraptor.
Yes, that is long overdue something else. Yes, no, you're absolutely right there.
I think it's one of the best birds we've ever had, and I want to see it get some love.
I agree. I like that. I like that idea a lot. Who else is in the... Plovetail's another one that I think just needs that extra little thing, but obviously it was in Legends Arceus. Do I think they'll be doing anything different in this? I don't know. You know what? I was going to say Arbok needs some love, but I don't know where you go with a snake in terms of a Mega, so I think that would have to be a regional form.
Yeah. Yeah, I think doable. A regional Arbok works better, and realistically, Swiper is kind of a regional Arbok. Just saying.
Just saying. Makargo needs a little bit of love.
On the idea of a legendary, because legendaries always get new forms, I think considering that we've just had Paradox forms for the Swords of Justice, we could get a Mega Keldeo.
I could see that. Yeah. See that.
It's a very French Pokemon as well, isn't it? Like the swords.
It is.
The Three Musketeers are all French, are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't made
yes,
that up.
I think
are.
So. No, they are. They are. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, are they Italian? No, I'm pretty sure they're French.
But I'm 99% sure they're French as well. So one Pokemon that I'd imagine people listening to this might have screamed at already. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I have seen this Pokemon's name floated around as a Pokemon that missed its chance at a Mega Evolution, and it's now potentially getting another one. It's Flygon. Yeah. Do you think this is it? Do you
Because their excuse last time was we couldn't come up with a design. We were going to give it a Mega Evolution, but couldn't come up with a design. You've had no excuse now. You've had 10 years.
Yeah. Yep. And change its typing as part of that. We finally get our first Dragon Bug Pokemon.
I could see that
happening. Yep. Agreed. Do you think we might get some love for the Clamperl Evolution line? A very much overlooked Generation 3 Pokemon that I think is all about the gimmick of the evolution items.
I don't care enough.
Okay, fair enough.
Which I guess it's kind of the point, though, isn't it? That you're supposed to give these to unloved Pokemon to make them better and give them a reason to be used again. But
yeah. A Type really? 1 Pokemon, Clamperl. I'm amazed. Pardon?
Really? Cryogonal. Clamperl? Oh, Cryogonal, I can see getting something.
Something. I was about to give a shout out to Lapras thing, saying, oh, it's not had any Megas or regional forms, but it got Gigantamax.
Gigantamax.
Which I think removes it from the equation. Even though, I know Charizard is our Charizard, okay? It will probably get a third Mega Evolution.
It will get a third Mega Evolution. It will get a Z version.
Definitely. Oh, a tie one that I do want to see a Mega for, Gigalith. Gigalith is one of those Pokemon that I love its design. I just feel it needs that little bit of extra love. I would love to see.
Again, Gigalith, I think, lends itself more to a regional form, similar to Golem, rather than a Mega.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Golurk. Just that cracks just completely busted open.
Yeah, I could see Golurk working.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see maybe... Do you know what? Mega... Which one's the evolved version? Chingling or Chimecho?
You're asking the wrong person. I've been playing Pokemon Friday. Chingling is the base form.
Is the baby.
Chimecho is, which always confuses me because neither of them look like they evolve into or from the other one.
I think that needs something.
It needs something.
Such a forgettable Pokemon.
Agreed. What about, there's a Pokemon I was looking at then. Where's it gone? Ferrothorn.
Ferrothorn would be very cool. Ferrothorn is such a cool Pokemon as it is.
Yes.
If you just give it a little bit more, give it the Metagross approach where it just gets more arms.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
I think if we include Ferrothorn in here as well, it'd be really cool because it'll be stuck to the ceiling, which is not something we've been able to see in games up till now.
No, we haven't. Yes, I like that idea a lot.
I know we had in the last Legends games a lot of Spiritomb.
We did, yes.
I don't know because of that if we'd get a Mega Spiritomb. But I'd like it.
Yeah, I would like it, but I don't think we will.
No.
So there's only a handful of water Pokemon left from Generation 1 that haven't had some kind of upgrade or update. Starmie, Cloyster, do you think there's a possibility of a regional or a Mega Evolution for those?
What do you do with Starmie? Because it's kind of just two star you strap together.
No, I can see that. I think that's why it lends itself to a regional form.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't got the psychic power anymore, and maybe it's flying because it likes to fly around or something by spinning it. I think there's something you can do there.
Cloyster, I could see getting a Mega Form, and you pay homage to the initial design and turn it back on its side and just make its spikes bigger.
Oh, yeah. I could see that as well.
The thing is, you could literally pick any Pokemon and be like, it'd be cool to have a Mega over that, and it would.
Yeah.
It just would.
I think what I like about this, though, is the fact that it just opens up the opportunity to give some Pokemon that have been overlooked a lot more love. Like, let's look at the latest generation, Tentacool and Tentacruel. I love Tentacruel's design, but, you know, it's been overlooked for quite a long time. And yet Generation 9 went, okay, yep, let's do it. And I know it's not a regional form, it's divergent form, but it's still a way to give love to something that has been overlooked for so long.
So do you think we'll get any... So we were talking about whether they'll include Pokemon from Gen 7, 8, and 9. Do you think any of those Pokemon will get Megas?
Oh, that is a you know what?
Because obviously I think a bunch of the Gen 8 stuff already got Gigantamax forms.
I think they'll include a Mega for... at least one Mega for a Pokemon from each generation. So every generation will be represented with a Mega. Some generations will get more. I think one will get the least number of new Megas, but I think when you look at Megas overall, one will still have the most. Because obviously you've got the previous three games that introduced Gen 1 Megas.
Mega Indeedee incoming.
And again, Indeedee is one of them that just needs a little bit more. A little bit more. Indeedee's
fantastic.
What?
Like competitively, Indeedee's fantastic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's really good.
What about regional forms of the Pan Monkeys? You know, we've got Grass, Fire, Water. Give us Electric, Fighting, Ground, maybe?
Rock.
I don't know. Rock? I don't know. Just like, yeah, I'd like that. Something completely out there. Yeah, there's a lot to choose from, which is part of the reason why I'm so excited. You know what? Mega Vespiquen. I'd love to see a Mega Vespiquen. I know it's quite close to Beedrill, but I could see it in
a kind of...
You just
go the other way with it, though, don't you?
In what way?
Beedrill became very spiky. You just...
Yeah.
Make Vespiquen more elegant.
I think I'm just really looking forward to new Megas. Like, they're not using this as an opportunity just to return Megas. They, like, to bring back returning Megas. They're using it as an opportunity to bring new Megas to the franchise, right? They've got to be.
Yeah, I can imagine them bringing new Megas. I can imagine them bringing new regional forms. Do you think we'll get any more divergent forms? Is it weird that I kind of hope not?
No, I agree. I would just rather them say the regional forms rather than divergent forms. I don't get why they added that clarification. I just don't understand what that... Because it doesn't tie into the games or the lore or anything else. So why implement that? Why not just go, the regional forms? And I guarantee you, if people didn't know they were divergent forms and you just asked a person on the street, they go, oh, no, that's a regional form. That's just what you'd assume they were. So I hope they don't bring them back. And divergent forms feels like it's something that works for present-day games. Don't think it works for past games, like setting the timeline in the past. I just don't see that working. Or at least it being very, very messed. Right. On it. I'm very aware that it's coming up to an hour and a half. The last 15, 20 minutes was us just geeking out about Pokemon that could one day get regional or mega form. So is there anything else that you want to add before we probably look at wrapping this up?
Starter guesses.
So this really annoys me because we've already had this conversation a long time ago and we thought we nailed the three and I can't remember what the three were.
Did we?
I can't remember. Yeah. It's been playing on my mind for the last couple of weeks now and I can't think what we chose. I can't remember. If someone remembers what we said, let us know, please. Because I can't go through 80-odd episodes trying to find a 20-second clip of where we chose who we thought the Pokemon starters were going to be. Trying to remember what we said. I can't remember. But if you put me on the spot now and I had to, I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't know. Do you know? You got any ideas?
I've got an idea.
Okay.
I would say Totodile.
Yes.
Tepig and Grookey.
Okay. Okay. How come?
Totodile and Tepig kind of haven't had any love as far as different forms or anything are concerned. I mean, you've got to consider that the Gen 1 Pokemon have been done to death. The Gen 3 Pokemon all have Megas. The Gen 4 Pokemon we just had in Legends and BDSP, like we've just played with them all. The Gen 5 Pokemon we won't see because it's Kalos and it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Rowlet's just had some love. Cyndaquil's just had some love. Technically, the Gen 8 Pokemon did have Gigantamax forms. Technically.
Mm-hmm.
What? And I don't know if they'll include the Paldea Pokemon just yet.
Feels a bit early.
I would say you could swap out Fuecoco for Tepig, but then you've got two crocodiles, which maybe it's a wish or hope that I want a new form for Alligator, because it's one of my favorite Pokemon. Totodile is one of my favorite Pokemon of all time.
Okay, right. Good to know. Maybe the lean in
is fine.
Yeah, sixes gives him a gainy. Yeah, I can see us getting a Gen 2 Pokemon out of the two remaining. Yeah, you know what? Totodile does kind of ring a bell in terms of, I think that's one of the ones we settled on last time. I'm pretty sure, but I can't remember the last two. But if I had to pick one of the fire Pokemon, I think you might be right with Tepig. I think that is... I just don't see what... fire Pokemon. Yeah. Infernape was too close. Delphox? Argument for Delphox or...
Again, it's Kalos. More. I don't think we'll get...
Oh, no, you're right.
The Kalos
yes.
starters in a Legends game.
No. No, you're right.
I could say
you know what? I can see Litten as well. You know what? I think you've... Superior. I think Superior is the grass one we're going to get.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then we swap out Tepig. So you go Superior, Litten, for Alligator?
I think that is a very
or
safe
Superior
bet.
Superior, Incineroar, or for Alligator?
Yeah. I think either of them are very good bets.
Okay.
But that also does the same again of 258, 257.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to do that? Because then that kind of opens up that the next Legends game would be Chikorita,
Popplio, and Tepig.
Yeah. Which is a way to
I
do it.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
No, I
Again,
wouldn't even.
These are the Pokemon that need it the most, so why not?
Yes. Yeah, okay, right. There we go. I think we're settled on it. We're getting those... Yeah, okay. I like that a lot. Right.
Cool.
I think that's the show for this week. If you've gotten this far, you're just top dollar, aren't you? Before you go, we really appreciate it if you could leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice. If you're watching on YouTube, then please leave a like, as it really helps out our podcast. If you've got a comment or question, you can reach us by leaving a comment on our podcast on YouTube, by emailing goldenrodpod@gmail.com, by leaving it on our Discord channel, or by using the hashtag goldenrodpod on Twitter. Connor, where can we find you?
You can find me on my YouTube channel at Captain Fidget or on Twitter at Cap Fidget.
I'm Ben. You can find me as Professor Hoenn Gaming on YouTube and Professor Hoenn on Twitter. We'll be back next Friday for another week of Pokemon podcast content.
See ya!